Thanks, Mark. All by yourself. Amazing. It's aluminium, though, hey? Thank you, Mark, Bridget. Thank you, Church, for hosting us here and having us in to be a part of you, not just passing through. And we just love Mark and Bridget. We, as you heard, we have walked a few trails together. But also, we have been here in this church a number of times, and we just love it. We love the scenery around here. As I said to one, I said, I don't know if I'm in the jungle or I'm on the beach somewhere, but just a great venue. We have enjoyed being with James and Lee in Lifehouse Church this last week and seeing God do much there. As was said by Mark, each night is going to be different. I'm as expectant as you are. So it's not a one-off. It's a series. So as it is, this will lead into tomorrow night, as will lead into Friday night. And I think, you know, we take the stand that when Paul preached the gospel, he went to places and he remained there a while so that people's faith may grow. And as when he left, there was something that was left behind. And what was left behind? What he carried, what he walked in, who he is. You know, some guys say you preach measles, but if you're carrying mumps, you're going to get mumps. That's a rather a negative thing, but that's what you are. And so I'm trusting that there's not just the words of God, but there's what happens with the word of God. My message tonight is called Vital Faith. So would you turn to Mark 6? So what are we going to do each night while you're turning there? Is what we're going to do is we're going to preach the word a bit and then begin to move with signs and wonders and what God has said. I am trusting that by the end of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you will begin to walk in your healing, if not have it, but understand how to walk in it and receive. Remember, miracles are instant. Healings are constant. The miraculous follows Hebrews 11:1. I'm just going a little. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith calls into being what you cannot see and have, but it shall come, the evidence of the very thing you hope for. And so when does faith begin? It begins the time, the instant, the second, the millisecond you choose to believe what God's word says. Because it is now faith. I think in most of our minds coming is an understanding it is not. Faith used to happen with those guys back in the book of Acts. Or I hope it happens sometime up there when everything's nice and I'm in the right place and God begins to move with somebody. But it's up to us to receive now. This is a now moment. Tonight is now. This 1 hour is a now for you. And you can have whatever you believe. And most people in the Bible that Jesus ministered to weren't members of a church. Most of them weren't water baptized, spirit-filled, tithing members leading home cells. They just came out of, I don't know where, even the madman of Gadara. He was demon-possessed 1 hour. Next hour, he was totally set free and said, go and tell Decapolis 10 provinces about me. Tell them about my mercy. It wasn't a fivefold gifting. It was just bare a testimony of my mercy. And if you want to testify to people, share God's mercy to humanity. So simple. Freely you have received, freely give. If you have received God's mercy, you have freely got something to give to someone else. It's not about you. It's about Him with you. So faith is now. Faith brings time to a standstill because it arrests nature and causes God to break in. Remember this, God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have history, He is history. Because He makes history. And He is eternity. So eternity becomes faith now. When you grab faith, you grab eternity Himself. So if He created the world, if He created the word, the world with the words of His mouth, guess what? He has power over every single thing, abstract, living mammal, reptile, rocks, ocean, seaweed, grass, trees, sky, heaven, stars. He is the ultimate king, master. And when you get a hold of what he says and you start speaking it to your life, you invite the creator to be a part of your life. I am the Lord your healer. So Mark chapter 6. And here I want to read. So I've got notes here. I was going to read something out of there, so forget it. Mark 6, verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored on the shore. They were in the boat, obviously. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him. Talking about they, when they got out, the people recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Another word was they were cured. So healing, cured, many of these things we pick up in different ways. The Greek says it. Two things here. They arrived at a place, and I read this way, just going back through the Matthew's version of this. When they got out the boat, the people immediately recognized him. I think this is Kier's version of this. When they got out the boat, they recognized him. But they were all like him. Why? Because they'd all been with him. So when you hang with Jesus, you end up looking like him, walking like him, talking like him, doing what he does. Isn't that his heart? In Matthew 10, Matthew 9, 35, felt compassion for the multitude. Come guys, I'm going to give you power, go and do what I do. And they went out and did what he did, said what he said, and they saw the same results that he was doing. In other words, he multiplied himself in them, and he was doing that here with these. And he hasn't stopped. And he's given it to the church. And he's given to different people to be able to minister the gospel and to do the same things, signs and wonders. So they saw him, but having been with Jesus, they saw the boldness in Peter and John, knowing that they were uneducated, untrained men, but they had been with Jesus. That's what it says in the book of Acts. So it's not about your education, your background, your PhD, doctorate, theology, or anything else. It's just the fact that when you've been with Jesus, there's something about him that you get on you, that you want to be like him. And you know what? When you're like somebody else, you very often you start talking like that person. You end up just seeing life's views of life the same way as that person. And so I think this is just my little directorship in my brain with my little TV screen up here, flat screen by the way, so it's up here. It used to be a box thing, take up too much. So here they get out the boat, they see these guys, and wherever these guys dispersed into whatever village, city, or anywhere in the countryside these guys went, wherever they heard he was. And he was in them because he had been with them. Hence, when the word gets inside of you, you begin to say the same things as he does, and you end up doing the same things as he does. So whichever village and place they were, it's called discipleship, they came and they brought people. So there was great response. And here's the thing, whoever touched even the hem of his garment, whoever touched, were cured, healed. So this is it. You've got to get there where he is, and you've got to touch him, and you get what he has. Get not lying on your back and saying, oh, help me, Lord, and you receive. I prayed, oh, Lord, if I just know that I come up, touch just the hem of your garment, I know I shall, however it was, she found out, out of her little bedroom, touched him, and she was the only one that plus off through the street, and the power of God. She found out where he was, came and touched him, and she was the only one that placed a demand on the power of God that was in him, came and touched him, and she was the only one that placed a demand on the power of God that was in him, because her, she was the only one that placed a demand on the power of God that was in him, because her faith demanded that. And he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And of course, his disciples were still in learner mode, learners. They said, "Ach, don't you know everyone's touching you?" He said, "No, but someone placed a demand, and you know the story. She was healed. He felt the power go out of him." And so for us, Christianity is not passive. You want healing. You want the power of God to flow. It's not passive. It's active demand on him. So you say, "Well, how do I touch the hem of his garment in heaven?" Just simply touch the word of God. Let that word of God touch you, because there's power in the word of God. Let me show you what the scriptures say. So we've read that. Let's stay in Mark 6, and I want us to go to Mark 6, verse 3. Here is where another crowd of people were. They're very different, and they had a different response. Now, the crowd that we just read about, they were expectant, waiting to receive from them. Let me say this. Expectancy is the atmosphere for the supernatural. If there's no expectancy in our heart, guess what? You're going to leave flatlined as the way you came in. It's like, you're just going to get nothing. But if you come in to any place, any church, with an expectancy to hear about Jesus, guess what? That expectancy draws something on the, out of the atmosphere of the supernatural that is attracted to you. Acts 3 says, Peter and John, going to the temple, went past Gate Beautiful and saw a man sitting there, crippled from his birth, begging for alms. Peter and John had been past there many times, and they said this thing, "Look at us." Why, I wondered why. Why did they say that? Because this man was just sitting there expecting the guys doing their religious work every day, just going into the temple, a good place to beg, guilt and shame upon the religious going in thinking, "I've done my alms and stuff." Going in there, and they said, no, hang on, let me just get your attention here. This is not how it works from now on. It's not about the finance coming into your little tin that buys the headache pills that takes away the pain. It's got nothing to do with the shame thing. It's got something to do more of what we're doing inside there. The one who lives inside there, I want you to meet him. I know he's resurrected, but it's where they worship. So he said, "Look at us." Why? He said, "I want you to look at us as you have been. I want you to notice us." In other words, put your tin down, eyes fixed, hands down, listen. "Such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus." Reached out his hand, he put his hand in there, and he literally pulled him into the supernatural. Pulled him out of where he was into the supernatural. But it started with, "Look at us." Friends, tonight, every time you come, come with the attitude of looking at Jesus, not me. Looking at Jesus. How do you see him? These people here that we're going to read about just didn't see him. And guess what? They got nothing. Yet what we've just read, those people saw him totally different. So, here we go to in Mark 6, verse 3. Verse 2, "And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon?'" Three questions, and fourth, next one. "Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Here's the whole thing. I was just looking at this. They were, so what happens was, is that they, first of all, "Isn't this not the carpenter, profession? Son of Mary, heritage, brother of the three J's, I call them, James, Joseph, Judas, and S, Simon, 3JS. So that's association. And are not our sisters, his sisters here also, relationships. So if you don't see Jesus, or you just mark him down as just being a carpenter's boy, and you know who his brothers are, and everything else, guess what? You're just going to get what a carpenter has, furniture. It's going to limit you. And I love the translations because of different Bibles. And they disapproved. Let me just read further on in the ESV here. "And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work here except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief.'" I just say, now you're picking on us. No, I'm not. Watch. So in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in their own households, notice the words their home, their household, their, it's all about their, them, their attitudes. Actually, it's their thing. It's what was good to them. And so it's all about them, what they didn't like. So actually, he did have action in the town. He did have some effect in the city. But some people, because of their friends, their sisters, their brothers, he could not do anything really good. And then another translation of the Bible says, and their disapproval blinded them to the fact that he was anointed by God as the Messiah. Ooh, when I read that, I thought, hello. That's called the voice translation. The fact that he, their disapproval blinded them. Can I just say this without, I need to say this. How do you see your church? How have you seen your church? How have you seen denominations? How has the last experience of the supernatural affected you? What has happened in the past to cause you not to be expectant, excited about the supernatural? Who have you heard that has brought something saying, oh, you know what, there are no signs and miracles today. That died off of the prophets. Who have you been listening to? Who's your relative? What is your relationship with the vertical and with the horizontal? Has the horizontal brothers and sisters caused you to become unexpected, cold in the heart, saying, Jesus doesn't do anything? Have we been blinded and caused the expectancy in our hearts to hold us back, not to wanting to receive, because of something that's been offensive? That the only person that's suffering is the one who's been offended. And yet it's there. Because this is what the word says. And their disappointment blinded them to the fact that he is anointed by God as the Messiah. They were repulsed by him and fell into unbelief. So what stops, and he marveled at their unbelief, except he laid his hands on a few sick people, and he could not do mighty works there. The question is this, he could not do? Question, can he do? Yes. Of course he can. If I asked you tonight, can God heal? Can he save? Can he deliver? Can he change water to wine? Can he walk on water? Can he? We sing about him. Yes, he can. So what stopped him where he could not? And most people don't like saying, hearing this. Unbelief stopped him. Because what he had, he could not give. No one was reaching out saying, I'm going to get there. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to get a hold of. Another big question about ability is he willingness? Ability and willingness are very different things. And they're two of the most greatest stumbling blocks in anyone receiving healing. Yes, we know that he can. And we've already known what holds him back. So sometimes when we hear about healing, we say, well, you know what? I've had hands laid on me so many times for healing and I've never received my healing. Well, did not Jesus pray twice for a guy who was blind, took him out of the city, went and put mud in his eyes, laid hands on him, he looked up, he looked around, he said, I see like men looking like trees and they're walking. He said, that's fine. Laid his hands on him a second time and prayed. So did Jesus fail the first time? No. He had everything. What was? He wasn't quite ready to get it all. He was being taught. He was being led. And I know that Jesus said, oh, you know, your faith has made you, you need to be rebuked. He never, ever rebuked anyone for the lack of faith. Never in the Bible. Disciples, oh, you have little faith. Let me show you how faith works. Mark 11:23. If you say unto this mountain, and he gives a whole lesson on faith, we might come to that. But he never rebuked them. He marveled at them. He said, I'm amazed. He didn't say, oh, you know why you didn't get healed? Because you haven't got faith. None. The church can never say that. We can never say that because we are not there in that place to say. But he wanted to. You know what? God has never been held back in saying, you know what, it's not quite right. They came to hear him and to be healed. It's the way we hear God, the way we understand him that helps. Another one is in Mark 1:40. And the leper came to him and knelt down and came in the way of Jesus, knelt down and said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me whole? Are you willing to heal me? If you are willing, there's that word will, and he could not able, as we just read. Willing and able. He is able. Is he willing? Lord, if you're willing, can you make me whole? And the reason why he asked, are you willing, is because when you have leprosy, you are thrown out of society. You are in absolute danger to society. A highly infectious disease that is born on the wind. And when people get leprosy, they are normally, as we see in the film Ben-Hur, they're put into a rubbish dump. And the rubbish dump's always downwind, mostly from the city, so you don't get the smell. Municipal arrangements. And so what do? They become part of the rubbish of the city. They are treated as rubbish of the city because they cannot get close to you. That's compost. They eat the rubbish. They become the rubbish. They rot away like the food. Flesh rots away. This guy got out of there somehow and got in front of Jesus. And his question was this. Society has rejected me. People cannot help me. Medicine cannot even. But Jesus, you're the Son of God. What is your attitude towards me? And it's one of those deepest, compassionate things in the Bible where this man, if I made a movie out of this, I'd have every little corner and shadow with faces peeping around pillars, out of trees, around the trunks, out of holes in the ground, wanting to find out what this man, Jesus, felt about him. Because it's one of the ultimate questions about humanity. How does God think about us? And you know the answer. He put his hand out and he said two words, I will. It is my will. And the first time I think, and I love this, the first time in science, in medicine, in creation, leprosy went backwards. Because leprosy and sickness normally invades. It's like, that's why they get rid of people. But this time leprosy said, whoa, the creator. And I love reading a story somewhere where it was in the Bible. It says, and if I can remember it dramatically, and the bacilli, because leprosy is a bacilli, stood to attention in the arteries and the veins of the human body. Because the creator's thunder and lightning was bouncing down the tubules and the sponges and the gray matter, and the muscles tensed because the creator himself was permeating his creation because he was Lord. And leprosy bowed and left. Awesome. How's that pretty good for poetry, hey, Adam? That's just like, that's my God. So, Luke 6:18, we just go a little further over. Luke 6:18. So they went and proclaimed that people should repent. Oh, sorry, I'm not even at the right place. Is it 6? Luke, I'm in Mark, sorry. You're way ahead of me. They came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. Notice the words, verse 18. You came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Just something that you kind of read there and say, they came to hear him and to be healed. Verse 19. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. Let me just let's just move on from here. Psalm 103. Let's go back into the Old Testament and look at some of these scriptures here, which are vital and for us to understand. I want us to lay a beginning of a foundation into our hearts. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, verse 1. And all that is within me. Where's your soul? What's in your soul? It's your emotions. Your taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing, Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. This is David. Hey, soul, you're going to bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me will bless his holy name. He gives it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And his benefits are, it's who, his benefits, who forgives you your sins, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfastness, love, and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How do you bless the Lord, O my soul? You tell him how good he is. You worship. You tell him how good. So it's like a command. So, but the two things, who forgives and who heals, those two things are vital. He does save. He does heal. So if we wonder if God heals today, the answer is yes. Psalm 107:20, just further on. And it says here, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Notice the verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities or sin, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent, how did he deliver? Sent out his word and healed them and delivered them. So how does healing come? It comes by the word of the Lord. He sent his word and healed them. God has always been sending his word. Even with the Old Testament, the word was sent. Today, the word is sent and healed them. Sent his word and healed them. Question we'd ask, how does God heal? Answer, believe the word of God. So how do people heal today? There's medicine, there's diet, there's Dr. Google, there's Dr. whatever on any fill, there's Dr. all kinds of things out there that we can go into, but there's one that has the resurrection power. Psalm 119. So are we in the Bible study? Just a little bit. Psalm 119 verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have stored it up. What's in your heart, friends? Someone said once, I can listen to you for 50 minutes and I know exactly what's in your heart. Why? Because your heart and your mouth are connected. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you say with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation comes by a confession of what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing comes by a confession about what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer. Salvation and healing come through the same way, through the same gate, from the same seedbed. So what's in your heart? If we don't have the word of God here, we cannot speak healing. We cannot walk in faith. We don't walk, talk healing. We walk, talk symptoms. How are you today? Oh, man, my headache. Really, your headache? At the moment, it is your headache because you want it to be yours. It's your headache. It's in your heart, it's your headache. Because you just said it with your mouth, it's your headache. So would you like God to heal you? Oh, I hope he can. Oh, Lord, do you think God can do this? Well, I've heard he could. Do you want him to do it today? Well, I'm hoping for that. Guess what? You're not in the place of faith. You're not ready to heal. The worst thing to say to someone when you pray for them is what's wrong? And they'll tell you everything that's wrong. What does the doctor do? What's wrong? Symptoms, 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 symptoms. All about what's wrong, what you feel. Correct. Good for the doctors. But you ask them, so what do you believe God can do for you today? Well, I believe God can heal me of cancers, tumors, blind eyes, deaf ears. Do you really believe that? Yes, I do. According to your faith, be it done to you. Lay hands on. Bam! The power of God comes. Somehow the voltage of heaven is opened. The gates, that thing that has the electric thing when you open a high amperage into a whole shopping mall. That one switch that makes everything alive. That one switch connects. So the gate is shut. Electricity happens. And boom, there's a massive surge of electricity. And every single thing in that building lights up. From a little fairy light of advert to a massive generator in the back that runs deep freezers. Guess what? Where's the switch? That's it. What do you say? Yes, in Jesus' name, I believe. Boom! There's something that happens. And power went from him. Believe this, that when you believe what God says, you receive what the power and the voltage of heaven has for you. And sickness goes in reverse gear because it's foreign. Acts 10:38, Catherine Coleman's favorite scripture. How God, it's all the book of Acts, summary of Jesus' ministry, is about how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and power. Who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Let me say it this way. Who went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might liquidate the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. What's oppression? Kingdom of darkness. So when Jesus went about doing good, healing, he's healing people, spirit, soul, and body. Salvation and healing of the body, so that you can live in the kingdom called God's kingdom, not the kingdom of oppression or Satan. You get out of oppression. You get out of this thing about not believing. You get away from the world of saying, oh, I hope I can do all things in Christ. Oh, you know what? I'm just hoping that God can help me. No, it's actually a translation. It's a transition. We're the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Unfortunately, we sometimes don't like hearing this. There is a heaven, there is a hell. The way to heaven is trusting the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father except by me. His name is Jesus. If we do not believe that, there is a hell, and that's where we go. There's no transitional period in between where you can work it out. There is the two. And the one gives health and healing and salvation, and the other one is darkness. Forever, your word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's Psalm 119:105. There's a whole lot of them. And then I want to go to Psalm 138. I love digging in the word and finding these scriptures. You have exalted, Psalm 138 verse 2 towards the end, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Exalted above all things. All things like what? All things like tumors, cancers, benign this and that. He's exalted his name above all things. There's one name by which everything is made, and every other name, every other thing will bow to him. Now, here I want to bring out a bazooka, a cannon, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. So we've looked at the Old Testament. Now we start loading up some of the heavyweights that enter the ring here, which is found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, and I want us to see this. Long ago, verse 1, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, Old Testament. But in these last days, New Testament, he's spoken to us by his Son Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of God's glory. In other words, he's exactly like God and represents him. Look at this. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Upholds the universe. How? With his finger? Universe. Not earth. Universe. The earth's in there. Universe. He upholds that. He doesn't do that with his hand. He does it by the word of his power. How did God create the earth? He just spoke. How's the church made? By those people who believe his word. And do his word. And act upon his word. By the power of his word or by the word of his power. There's a difference. Unfortunately, I think in some translations it says by the power of his word. Therefore, every bit of authority and power is in that word. Yes, he sent his word and healed them. True. God created the heavens and the earth by the word that he sent. The centurion said, just say the word and it's done. Yes. We know that there's word. Be healed. Just say the word. But here's the key. In Genesis 3, there was a bit of a conflict going on between the devil and Adam and Eve, humanity. And we know that Satan questioned Adam and Eve and said, did God say? The devil didn't say, God said, is that true? He said, did God say? What was the test? It was checking out of who actually said it. Did God say? He upheld the universe by the word of his power. Did God say? So it's a violation of what he said, but it's actually a violation against God. It's himself. So it was actually testing and saying, did God really say that? So the source of who said this, is that the source that said it? Yes. Did he really say that? So it's actually against the one who said it. Do you get that? Is there more power in the word spoken, or is the one more power in the person who said the word spoken? Let's go back to the centurion. Jesus, just say the word and it's done. Jesus said, I have never seen such faith on earth. Why? Centurion stands under the authority of Caesar, a king. He's a subject. He's a messenger. He's in a position. He hears what Caesar tells him. He turns around and he goes out and he enacts what Caesar said. He says the same word as Caesar, but he repeats exactly what Caesar said. Why? Because it's the power of his word. If you bring your own interpretation of it, it goes off. Guess what? Here comes the devil. He comes. Did God really say that? Guess what happens? You get derailed. The authority on the one who said it. Now there comes a misinterpretation, a misinformation. It's called unbelief because you don't trust the source. And therefore you begin to walk in whatever interpretation you have. Hello, that's what's called sin in the world today. But the centurion said, hey Jesus, I understand how this works. You come from God. You just say the word. You have a power and authority over sin, sickness, death, resurrection power. You say your word, it's going to happen. Jesus says, yeah, I've never seen such faith. So we come to the Bible and we see how God works and how it happens. Okay, I'm going to jump to Acts 14. So, what is sin? It's unbelief in the Word of God. That's it. So what is faith? Believing God's Word and walking in what He has said. Acts 14. And verse 8. Here we find right up into the New Testament. Here it says, Now at Lystra, 14 verse 8, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul looked intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he sprang up and began to walk. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted their voices and began to worship some other foreign god, thinking it was some other thing, because they were uneducated. But I want you to notice, in reading this, I see three things. It was at a place, that's not the important one. His condition was he had never walked. Second thing is, he listened to Paul speaking. He heard the word, the message, the same thing that we're speaking tonight. They heard his message. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking at him, saw that he had faith. And then he said, get up and be healed. Three things. He listened. Romans 10:17 comes right in there. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when faith was there, when faith was at a point, he said, you can stand up on your feet. It was a command given, and he leapt from the natural to the supernatural. In his life, now faith is. In his life, right there. The now of faith happened. So we can talk about healing and all these things, but actually, you know, Mark 16:20 says this, and they went out and preached the word everywhere, and God confirmed the word with signs following. Who did he confirm? Peter's preaching? Did he confirm Peter or the word that Peter said? The answer to that is the word Peter said, because he confirmed the word. Most times we think that some of the blocks are a highfalutin, well-known website, DVD things selling all over the place. You've got to hear me. You exalt the person. And you know what? The power's not in the person. It's in what the person says and who he represents. What we are just simply messengers. We bring the message and try and say the same things as he's done. After all, Jesus, John 5:19, he said this, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see him do. Nothing else, not me. I watch what he wants. I represent the Father. I represent him. Jesus does that. So much more must we do. And so many people in churches and people around, and I can say the world, some of the world we've been to, have been hurt around misrepresentation of who Jesus is. How? You come here, I lay hands on you. My hands on you is going to heal you. Wrong. I do my little thing. I lift up, like Moses, just lift up the rod. I'll part the Red Sea. Absolutely, Lord, I'm with you on that one. I'll pick up this thing. I can do that. But that, no ways, that's your job. But as long as I've got this up and I exalt the word, the rod, the truth, as long as the truth's lifted up, you can do everything. But as soon as I think I can part the sea, it'll never happen. So we just lift the rod, let the word of God be exalted, let the power of God be exalted. He will confirm his word in you. My job is to get the truth into you. That's why I've taken a little while to do this, tonight anyway, to try and get this truth to you, because they came to hear him and be healed. I trust tonight you've come to hear Jesus. And if we put our faith on some magic wand touch stuff, we're all going to go home very disappointed. God wants to heal you. He could tear heaven open, send angels. He could do all kinds of stuff. He wants to so much. It's like he wants to pour some ocean on Lake Ontario onto you and your house. That's how much he wants to do. But he will never violate his word. So our job is to take the word of God. Why? Because when you take his word, it shows him that you love him. If you will obey me and do what I've told you, we will come to you. In John 14, it says, if you take my word and you obey my rules and my statutes, my truth about my kingdom, then we'll come to you. We'll manifest our myself to you and we will live with you. That's what he says, talking about your body. We will manifest ourselves. What is that? He will show himself signs, wonders, and miracles. He will heal you. He will clean up your house inside. But when he finds the word there, he sent his word and healed them. Another scripture of that, the other side of that scripture is, he's watching over his word to perform it. How? Where's the word? Can I see it in your heart? Is the word there? I'm watching over it because I want to do it. I so want to do it. Tonight, he's watching where that word is. If he's still working out like, well, you know, he's a carpenter. Guess what? You ain't got the word yet. You haven't got there. Forget those things. Get back. Get a hold of God. Have I been healed? Yes. Broken ankle, 3 days, totally healed. On a motorcycle, into Mozambique, ask Mark. Plaster cast, doctors confirmed from here down. 7 weeks before you can walk on that. Guess what? One meeting with Kim Clements down in South Africa, threw the crutches down, stood up and said, God, you're either a liar or you're true. I trust you in your word. Do your word now. Walked out carrying the crutches. Why? It's called rugged faith. Either you believe or you don't leave. Go home, babe. Just forget it. Otherwise, his word is true. It's forever true. It is forever settled. He's exalted it above everything else. The word of God is there. We have kind of put it down and said, okay, let's define it according to how we think what church should be and how church should be to me. No, it's how you are to God. That's what church is. Little strong talk there. Who is he to us? A weekend happening that... A weekend girlfriend? Do we treat the bride of Christ like a weekend girlfriend? A quick thrill? High on drugs with the Holy Spirit? And then we just bomb? No. You're going to get sick doing that. Get another kind of AIDS doing that. AIDS of the soul. Bless the Lord of my soul. 1 John 3 says, I pray above all that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Health and your soul and your spirit are linked. Salvation of the soul, healing to the body are together. When you get saved, you get healed. That's the perfect place. We said, salvation may be healing, never. Or, yeah, I'm so after healing that we've got to have the two together. Amen.